A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel sent us this one. He wants to talk about clip-on speakers, a product category that doesn't get a ton of attention. He picked one up recently because he spends a lot of time minding his son Ezra, who has apparently developed a prodigious talent for yanking headphones off his head. The clip-on speakers solve that problem. He was surprised the built-in mic was actually decent. And he's curious about three things. Who actually likes these speakers? And in what context? What are some popular things to clip them onto? And which products in this category are actually well rated? Honestly, this is one of those categories where the marketing tells you almost nothing useful.
It really does. And the category itself is kind of an orphan. It's not headphones. It's not a traditional Bluetooth speaker you set on a table. It's this weird in-between thing. I've been digging into this space for a while because it quietly solves problems that neither headphones nor tabletop speakers handle well. The formal industry term is wearable speakers or sometimes personal speakers, but most people just call them clip-ons. And the market has actually grown quite a bit in the last 2 years, partly because of parents, partly because of outdoor workers, partly because of people with hearing accessibility needs. JBL dominates this space with the Clip series, but there are neckband-style wearable speakers from Bose and Sony that are technically in the same category, just a different form factor.
The neckband ones feel like a different beast entirely. They're basically a collar that fires audio up toward your ears. The clip-on is more like you've taken a small Bluetooth speaker and given it a carabiner. It's the carabiner that defines the category, really.
The carabiner is the category, and JBL understood this early. The Clip 4 came out in 2021, and the Clip 5 launched in early 2024. The Clip 5 is the current flagship. It's about 47mm by 87mm, weighs around 285 grams, so it's not nothing, you'll feel it on a belt loop. But it's compact enough that it disappears on a backpack strap. IP67 rated, which means it's fully dust tight and can survive being submerged in a meter and a half of water for 30 minutes. That's a genuinely meaningful spec for something you're wearing outdoors.
IP67 on a wearable speaker feels like one of those specs that sounds like overkill until you're caught in rain with a toddler on your hip, and suddenly you're very glad someone thought of it.
That's exactly the use case. And the battery life on the Clip 5 is about 12 hours, which is up from 10 on the Clip 4. It charges over USB-C. Finally, the Clip 4 still used micro USB in 2021, which was borderline unforgivable at that point. 3. So the connection is solid. But here's the thing that doesn't show up in spec sheets. The Clip 5 uses a 1.75-inch driver with a passive radiator, and the tuning is surprisingly warm for something this size. It's not audiophile grade, but it's not the tinny mess people expect from a speaker smaller than a coaster.
Warm tuning on a clip-on is a deliberate choice, right? Because if you're wearing this near your collarbone or on a belt, a bright treble-heavy speaker would be exhausting within 10 minutes.
That's exactly the design logic. JBL's audio team has talked about this in interviews. They tune the Clip series for near-field listening, which means they roll off the highs slightly and boost the low mids so it sounds fuller at low volumes. It's the opposite of how you'd tune a party speaker, where you want projection and sparkle. This is designed to sound good at arm's length or closer.
The tuning itself tells you who this is for. It's not for sharing music with a group. It's for personal audio in situations where headphones don't work.
And that brings us to the first part of the question. Who actually likes these, and in what context? So I'd break the user base into about four groups. First, parents of young children. This is probably the biggest growth segment. You're at home, you're watching a toddler, you want to listen to a podcast or an audiobook, but you also need to hear if the kid is crying, choking, or quietly dismantling the bookshelf. Headphones block too much ambient sound, and earbuds with transparency mode are expensive and still easy for a grabby infant to yank out. A clip-on speaker on your collar solves both problems. You can hear your audio, you can hear your kid, and there's nothing on your head for them to grab.
Daniel basically described the platonic ideal of this use case. Ezra's at that age where anything on a parent's head is a toy. The clip-on is grab-proof by design, because it's not on your head.
And that's a real design insight. The second group is outdoor workers and DIY people. Landscapers, construction workers, people doing home renovation. They need situational awareness. You can't wear noise-canceling headphones when you're operating a saw or working near traffic, but they also want audio to make the day go faster. Clip a speaker to your high-vis vest or your tool belt, and you've got music or a podcast without compromising safety. The IP67 rating matters enormously here because you're dealing with dust, sweat, and weather.
The third group has to be people with certain hearing profiles, right? Folks who can't wear in-ear monitors or find over-ear headphones uncomfortable for long periods.
And this is actually an under-discussed accessibility use case. Some people have ear canal sensitivities, chronic ear infections, or conditions like hyperacusis, where anything in or on the ear is painful. Others wear hearing aids that don't play nicely with headphones. A near-field speaker bypasses all of that. There's also a subset of people with single-sided deafness who use a clip-on on the non-hearing side to bring audio into their good ear without blocking it. It's a niche within a niche, but for those people, it's transformative.
The fourth group?
The fourth group is what I'd call the ambient home audio users. People who move around their house a lot, cooking, cleaning, folding laundry, and don't want to carry a phone or wear headphones, but also don't want a fixed smart speaker in every room. You clip the speaker to your shirt, and your podcast follows you from the kitchen to the laundry room to the garage. It's basically a personal PA system for one person.
The musical equivalent of a housecoat. Not glamorous, deeply practical.
That's exactly the energy. And this is where the built-in microphone Daniel mentioned becomes relevant. Most people don't think of these as communication devices, but the mic on the Clip 5 is actually quite usable for calls. It's not a studio microphone, but it's positioned well. When you clip it to your collar, it's about 6 to 8 inches from your mouth, which is a better pickup distance than a phone sitting on a table across the room. JBL put some decent noise reduction in the mic array too. I've seen teardown analyses that suggest they're using a MEMS microphone with basic beamforming.
You're telling me the clip-on speaker is a better conference call device than most people's laptop microphones?
In a quiet room, honestly, yes. In a noisy environment, no, it'll pick up everything. But for a parent making a call while the baby naps in the other room, it's surprisingly good.
That brings us to the second part of the prompt. What are people actually clipping these onto? And I feel like the answer ranges from the obvious to the creative.
The most common attachment points, based on user reviews and forum discussions, are shirt collars, backpack straps, belt loops, and bag handles. The collar is probably number one. It puts the speaker near your ears and keeps it relatively stable. Backpack straps are popular with hikers and commuters. Belt loops work, but the audio projects upward from your waist, which sounds a bit weird. You lose the near field effect because the speaker is farther from your ears.
I've seen people clip them onto shower curtain rods, which feels like one of those use cases that the product team never designed for, but secretly loves.
The shower use case is huge. The IP67 rating makes it shower safe. And bathrooms are acoustically terrible for phones, but great for a small speaker clipped to the rod or a towel rack. People also clip them onto stroller handles, which is a parent-specific hack. You're pushing the stroller, you want a podcast, the speaker is right there. Some cyclists clip them onto handlebars or the straps of a messenger bag. There's a whole subculture of motorcycle riders who clip them onto their jacket collars because they can hear audio and still hear traffic.
The motorcycle use case is interesting because it's safety critical. You cannot wear headphones on a motorcycle in most places. It's illegal in many jurisdictions because it blocks the auditory cues you need to stay alive. A clip-on speaker at moderate volume gives you both.
That's the through line across all these use cases. It's about staying connected to your environment. That's the fundamental value proposition. Headphones isolate you. Clip-on speakers keep you present. The trade-off. And this is the part people don't always think through, is that everyone around you can hear what you're listening to.
Daniel flagged this. He called it a little bit obtrusive on a walk. And he's right. But I think the social acceptability of this depends heavily on context. In your own home, nobody cares. On a hiking trail, the ambient noise usually covers it. In a quiet coffee shop, you are now the person everyone quietly despises.
There was actually a small study out of the University of Tokyo a few years back looking at social perceptions of personal audio leakage. They found that speech content, podcasts, audiobooks, is perceived as significantly more intrusive than music at the same volume. Something about the human brain being wired to pay attention to speech. So if you're listening to a podcast on your clip-on in public, you're generating more social friction than if you're playing music, even at the same decibel level.
Music at low volume is ambience. Someone else's podcast sounds like a ghost is trying to have a conversation with you.
That's why the collar position is actually socially smarter than the belt position. If the speaker is near your collarbone and you keep the volume reasonable, the audio falls off pretty quickly. It's designed for near-field listening. Someone 3 feet away might hear a faint murmur but won't catch words. On a belt loop, the audio has to travel farther to reach your ears, so people tend to crank the volume, and now you're broadcasting to the whole bus.
The collar is both the acoustic sweet spot and the social sweet spot. Lower volume, better privacy, less obtrusion.
Now, the third part. What are the well-rated products? Let me run through the current landscape. The JBL Clip 5 is the category leader, and it's not particularly close. It retails for about $80, though you can often find it for $60 to $70. Sound quality is best in class for the size, battery life is solid, the carabiner is integrated into the body. It's not a separate plastic clip that can snap off, which was a failure point on some earlier models. The carabiner is metal, and it's part of the frame.
The integrated carabiner is one of those design decisions that separates a product that understands its use case from one that doesn't. A clip-on speaker with a fragile clip is just a speaker you can't clip to anything anymore.
And JBL learned this the hard way. Early clip models had a plastic carabiner that broke. The Clip 4 and Clip 5 moved to a metal gate-style carabiner that's much more durable. If the Clip 5 has a weakness, it's that the bass response, while impressive for the size, still can't compete with even a modest tabletop speaker. Physics is physics. You can't get deep sub-bass out of a 1.75-inch driver. But for spoken word content, which is what Daniel is mostly using it for, it's excellent.
What about alternatives? The Clip 5 can't be the only game in town.
It's not, but the competition is scattered. The Sony SRS XB100 is technically a portable speaker, not a clip-on, but it has a strap loop and people use it the same way. It's about $60, has a slightly larger driver, and the bass is a bit fuller. But it's also heavier, and the strap isn't as secure as a dedicated carabiner. If you're clipping it to something and not moving much, it's great. If you're walking around, it swings and bounces.
It's a clip-on in spirit, but not in engineering.
Then there's the Tribbett Stormbox Micro 2, which is about $50 and has a built-in strap that works on bike handlebars and backpack straps. It's designed more for outdoor adventure than personal wear, but the form factor overlaps. Sound quality is surprisingly good for $50. It uses a 48mm driver with a passive radiator, and Tribbett's tuning is punchy. The downside is the strap is rubberized and can wear out over time. It's not a carabiner.
Tribbett is one of those brands that keeps showing up in budget audio roundups. They're the brand that makes you wonder why the big brands charge twice as much.
The answer is usually build quality and long-term reliability. Tribbett speakers sound great out of the box, but the materials don't hold up as well over 2 or 3 years of daily use. The rubberized coating gets sticky, the strap degrades, the battery life drops faster. That said, for $50, some people are happy to replace it every couple of years.
Then there's the neckband category, which is a different form factor, but solves the same fundamental problem.
The Bose Soundware Companion was the most famous example. It launched in 2018 and was discontinued in 2020, which tells you something about the market at the time. It was a U-shaped collar with speakers that pointed up toward your ears. It sounded fantastic, much better than any clip-on, because the drivers were larger and positioned optimally. But it was $300. It looked deeply strange, and Bose couldn't find a big enough market. Sony has the SRS NS7, which is a similar neckband design with Dolby Atmos support, designed primarily for TV watching. It's about $250, and it's still on the market.
The neckband speaker as a TV accessory is an interesting pivot. It's basically a personal soundbar you wear.
That's exactly the pitch. And for apartment dwellers who want immersive audio without disturbing neighbors, it makes sense. But it's a very different product from the clip-on. The neckband is a sit-down device. The clip-on is a move-around device. They share a category label, but almost opposite use cases.
The neckband also has a different social problem. A clip-on speaker on your collar reads as practical. A plastic collar around your neck reads as a lot of things, none of them flattering.
The Google Glass of audio. Technically impressive, socially radioactive.
There it is. So if someone is looking for a clip-on speaker today, the JBL Clip 5 is the default recommendation, with the Tribit Stormbox Micro 2 as the budget alternative, and the Sony XB100 as the I already own this and use it that way option.
That's the short version, but I want to dig into something that doesn't show up in spec sheets or reviews, the microphone quality that Daniel mentioned. He was surprised by it, and I think that's worth unpacking because it reveals something about how these products are designed versus how they're marketed. Most people assume the microphone on a Bluetooth speaker is an afterthought, and on most Bluetooth speakers, it is. But on a wearable speaker, the microphone is actually more important than on a tabletop speaker because the use case involves calls. JBL understands this. On the Clip 5, they've implemented what they call echo canceling in the firmware, but it's really a combination of acoustic echo cancellation and some basic noise suppression. The mic is positioned on the top edge of the device, so when you clip it to your collar, it's pointing roughly towards your mouth. That's not accidental. It's a deliberate design choice that puts the mic in near field relative to your voice while keeping it far field relative to the speaker driver.
The physical design and the signal processing are working together. That's rarer than it should be.
It's surprisingly rare in budget and mid-range audio products. Most companies treat the mic as a checklist item. JBL clearly thought about it. Now, it's not going to replace a dedicated headset for professional calls, but for the kind of casual calls a parent or an outdoor worker is making, it's more than adequate. Some users report that the Clip 5 mic actually outperforms the built-in mic on their laptop for voice clarity in quiet environments.
Which makes sense. The laptop mic is picking up keyboard noise, fan noise, room reflections. The clip-on mic is 6 inches from your face and optimized for voice.
There's one more product I should mention because it's an interesting outlier, the Shoax OpenSwim. Shoax is the Bone Conduction headphone company, formerly Aftershoax. The OpenSwim is technically a bone conduction MP3 player designed for swimming, but it has a clip-on form factor and some people use it as a wearable speaker. It's waterproof to IP68, so fully submersible, and it has 4 GB of internal storage. It's not Bluetooth, it's a standalone player, so it's a very specific niche. But for swimmers who want audio, it's basically the only game in town.
The waterproof MP3 player that clips to your goggle strap. That's not a clip-on speaker in the sense we've been discussing, but it's adjacent. And it highlights something about this whole category. The most interesting products in it are solving problems that the mainstream audio industry doesn't even acknowledge exist.
That's the thing. The audio industry is obsessed with headphones. The headphone market is something like $40 billion globally. Clip-on speakers are a rounding error by comparison. But for the people who need them, parents, outdoor workers, people with ear sensitivities, swimmers, motorcyclists, they're not a rounding error. They're the only thing that works.
It's the cockroach of personal audio. Nobody thinks about it. It survives in niches nothing else can occupy, and it's nearly impossible to kill.
I actually called it exactly that in a previous review. The clip-on speaker as cockroach. It's not glamorous, but it's durable, adaptable, and it'll outlast trendier products because it solves real problems.
To pull this together for the three things Daniel asked about. 1. Who likes these, and in what context? Parents of grabby infants, outdoor workers who need situational awareness, people with ear sensitivities or hearing aid compatibility issues, and homebodies who want audio that follows them from room to room. The through line is staying connected to your environment.
2. What to clip them onto. Shirt collars for near-field audio and social acceptability, backpack straps for hiking, belt loops as a fallback, stroller handles for parents, shower rods for the waterproof models, motorcycle jackets for riders. The collar is the sweet spot.
3. The well-rated products. JBL Clip 5 is the category king at about $80. Tribit Stormbox Micro 2 is the budget contender at $50. Sony SRS XB1001 Drun is the crossover option at $60. And the neckband models from Bose and Sony exist. If you want better sound, and don't mind looking like you're wearing a tech collar.
I'd add the Shoax OpenSwim for the swimming niche, but that's a specialty product. For Daniel's specific use case, minding Ezra, listening to podcasts around the house, occasional walks, the Clip 5 is almost certainly the right call. The mic quality he noticed is real, the battery life is enough for a full day of intermittent listening, and the IP67 rating means it survives the inevitable encounter with a spilled sippy cup.
The sippy cup rating. That should be a standard spec for parent-oriented electronics.
It really should. IP67 is great, but what parents need is the toddler-proof certification. Drop resistance, waterproofing, no small parts that can be pried off, and a carabiner that can survive being used as a teething toy.
The carabiner as teething toy is a mental image I didn't know I needed, but it points to something real. These products live in a world of sticky hands, dropped objects, and unpredictable environments. The design has to account for that, and the best ones do.
That's why the Clip series has endured while so many other wearable speakers have come and gone. JBL didn't try to make a beautiful object. They made a durable tool. It's not the speaker you show off. It's the speaker you use every day and stop thinking about.
Build me a chair nobody notices they're sitting in.
The best clip-on speaker is the one that disappears into your routine. You clip it on, you forget about it, and your podcast just...
One thing we haven't touched on is the privacy dimension. Daniel mentioned the obtrusiveness of other people hearing your audio. But there's also the reverse. If you're on a call, the person on the other end can hear your environment. That's fine at home. It's less fine if you're in a doctor's waiting room taking a call about something sensitive.
That's a real limitation. The clip-on speaker is inherently a public listening device. It's not for confidential calls. It's not for listening to anything you wouldn't want a stranger to overhear. That's not a design flaw. It's just the nature of the form factor. But it's worth being explicit about because people sometimes don't think about it until they're in the situation.
The same way people don't think about how much their laptop screen is visible to the person behind them on a plane until they're reading something embarrassing.
Situational awareness works both ways. You're aware of your environment, and your environment is aware of you. For a lot of use cases, that's a feature. For some, it's a deal breaker.
Before we wrap, I want to flag one more thing. The clip-on speaker category overlaps with an older product category that's almost entirely forgotten, the personal radio. In the 1980s and 1990s, Sony and Panasonic made these tiny AM/FM radios with a belt clip and a single earbud. They were huge with joggers and commuters. The clip-on Bluetooth speaker is basically the spiritual successor to that. Same use case, same form factor logic, just updated for the streaming era and with a speaker instead of an earbud.
That's a great connection. The Sony Walkman had a belt clip. So did the original iPod Shuffle. The idea of wearing your audio on your body instead of in your ears has been around for decades. What's changed is the speaker technology. You couldn't do a wearable speaker in 1995 because the drivers were too large and the batteries couldn't handle it. Now you can fit a decent driver and 12 hours of battery into something the size of a small apple.
The miniaturization of everything is what made this category possible. Not just the electronics, but the magnets, the battery chemistry, the Bluetooth chipset. All of it had to shrink to the point where you could clip a functional speaker to your shirt and not look like you were wearing a piece of lab equipment.
We're still in the early stages of what's possible. There are research papers coming out of places like Fraunhofer about flat panel speaker technology that could be woven into fabric. Imagine a clip-on speaker that's just a patch on your shoulder, completely flexible, washing machine safe. We're probably 5 to 10 years from that being a consumer product, but the direction is clear.
The clip-on speaker eventually becomes the clip-on. Just the clip. The speaker disappears into the garment.
At that point, the category merges with smart clothing. But for now, the JBL Clip 5 and its competitors are the practical, available, reasonably priced version of that future. They work today, they solve real problems today, and they don't require you to buy a special jacket.
Which is the right bar for a product category. Not... what could this be in a decade? But does this solve a problem right now for a real person? And the answer is clearly yes.
Now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
In 1913, a French meteorologist stationed in the Comoros documented the only known surviving example of a brontometer, a brass instrument designed to measure the frequency and intensity of thunderclaps by recording pressure waves on a rotating smoked paper drum.
A machine for measuring thunder on smoked paper.
I have so many questions about the calibration process. This has been My Weird Prompts. Thanks to our producer, Hilbert Flumingtop. You can find us at myweirdprompts.com or wherever you get your podcasts. If you enjoyed this episode, leave us a review. It helps.
Until next time.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, my weird prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.